This is called the blonde's revenge. Since I'm married to one and my daughter is one, and that's real blonde right there, okay? Several of my granddaughters are blonde. So this blonde is on a plane, right? And beside her is a distinguished attorney who, on the inside, he just loves to play games with people. And the lawyer looks over at the blonde. He said, "Hey, do you want to play a game to pass the time?" The blonde says, "Oh, I don't know. I'm not good at any games." And so the lawyer said, "Oh, come on, it'll be fun." The blonde said, "I don't know." And the lawyer thinks, suddenly comes up with an idea. "I know what I'll do." He said, "Here's my deal. When I ask a question, if you get the question wrong, you give me $5. And if I get it wrong, I give you $1,000. The blonde thought for a minute, "Okay, we'll do that." So the attorney says, "All right, first question, who was the first president of the United States?" The blonde thinks and thinks and thinks and strains, and "I don't know." So she gives him $5. And then it's the blonde's turn. And she asks the attorney, "What has five legs, five tails, five eyes, and seven mouths?" Man, the attorney, he was panicking. He gets on that phone that you have to pay for, you know, and calls all of his lifelines and his friends. And you know, now you can get on the internet and pay for it. And he got on there and searched it, and he couldn't find out. And so he finally said, "I don't know." And he hands the blonde $1,000. And then his next question to the blonde was, "So what was the answer?" The blonde looks at him and says, "I don't know. Here's $5. Praise God. Well, that was no dumb blonde, was she? Praise the Lord. All right, look at Matthew chapter 7. Now, what I'm going to begin to share with you today, I won't be able to finish this morning. You'll have to come back tonight to get the rest of the message. I'm not doing that on purpose. It's just that I've got a lot in my heart that I want to share with you. And if for some reason that you can't be here, you can get the message online. Praise God. Amen. This will teach you how to win in life. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat on that house." So this is a storm, right? The rain, winds, yeah, floods. That's a pretty big storm. "And beat on that house, and it did not," what? "Did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears," verse 26, "everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it" what? "It fell, and great was its fall." I want to talk to you about navigating the storms of life. Navigating the storms of life. How many of you know the storms of life come to us all? Our family's been going through some storms recently, and we'll talk about some of that. You guys prayed for my brother Marty, and I'll mention that here in a moment. But here he says that being a doer of the word and not just a hearer only will prevent our spiritual house from blowing away in a great battle of life, whether it's physical, financial, or relational. Now, John chapter 16. John chapter 16 says this, verse 33. John 16:33. "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So none of us is exempt from storms. The storms of life are going to come to all of us. But there are things we can do to prepare for storms and respond to storms that will protect us when the raging winds are blowing and the devil's trying to huff and puff and blow our house down. You know, you've read that little Red Riding Hood? And the wolf came and tried to huff and puff and blow the house down. And, you know, in hurricanes, people board up their windows and evacuate. I remember one year, in fact, it was 1983. Do you remember that, Michelle, the hurricane we went through? And you were probably, you would have been three. So this storm comes, and you know, you'd hear about all these hurricanes. We lived in Houston, Texas, and so they'd talk about hurricanes four or five times a year, and none of them ever came through. And so, you know, we didn't do anything. We didn't board up windows. We didn't. All we did was we prayed and praised God, but then the storm came. And I mean, the eye of the storm came right over our house. And the back side of the eye, the wind on the back side of the eye was tougher than the front side of the eye. And the window that we didn't board up blew in and, blew over on my wife and myself and one of our sons, and just cut us a little bit, not too bad. But then the electricity, I mean, the houses across from us, what was that storm? What was the name of it? Was it Alicia? Alicia, they remember. And the two-story houses across from us, the roofs blew off. I mean, it was bad storm. I mean, you sit and watch the roof blow off your house, and it's pretty, bad. And the electricity went off. And my daughter, Michelle, right here, 3 years old, says, in Jesus' name, she said, lights come on. And the lights came on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, when the eye came through, it got calm, and we boarded up that window, man. I found me a board and got out there. So after that, we learned that hurricanes, you pray, but you also put boards on windows. Amen. So there are things you can do in a storm. You know, in tornadoes, people listen for sirens. They use storm shelters and safe rooms, right? Besides prayer. I mean, look, guys, we do what we can in the natural, right? And the supernatural. In blizzards, where we're in that country now, people use snow shovels, snow plows, chains, and snow blowers. Just got my snow blower fixed. Praise God. Hallelujah for a snow blower. Thank you, Jesus. And Jesus told us here to keep our eyes on Him and get our peace from Him. Look at it again, John 16:33. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but in me you'll have peace. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. He's telling us here, in other words, make Him our storm shelter. Hallelujah. Man, isn't it what the Bible says? Psalm 61:3-4. You have been a shelter for me, right? A strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings, Selah. Jesus is my shelter. Say that. Jesus is my shelter. My strong tower in the midst of every storm of life. Now, you know, you guys prayed recently for my brother Marty, and the doctors told him that he had stage 4 melanoma. He had some growths all over his body, and he didn't know what it was. And he went, and I mean, the doctors didn't diagnose it right, and then they said that, and then he said, basically, he said, son, you better get your house in order. You got 2 weeks to 3 months to live. I mean, 3 months on the outside. And this was, I don't know, 6 weeks ago. And just after that, you know, I called Charlie and Pastor, and I said, you know, if you guys would just pray for Marty. Well, when you guys prayed on a Sunday morning, Marty went, he was going, they were going to have to do major, massive radiation on this. It was a 1.4 centimeter tumor on his brain, but they went in there to go through all that, and they did a test again. They said, "What happened to you? That tumor has shrunk." Before they did the radiation. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And then, you know, they went back in. They did some chemo, and they did that, and it had shrunk from 1.4 to 1 centimeter. It's pretty significant before they ever did the radiation. Then they did a chemo drip, and he came back in. You guys prayed on Sunday, and this was Friday after when he went back. I think he went for chemo on Wednesday and then back on Friday, And the doctor was just amazed. He said, all of these growths have shrunk. All of them have shrunk. And then he said, son, he said, you know, you might just make it. Hallelujah. Well, he's not just going to might make it. He's going to make it. He's not going to die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Amen. Then, you know, my wife's mother, they just diagnosed her with a large tumor on her bladder. And so Janice is leaving today, and they're going to do biopsy and things. And so, you know, and then we've had another family, you know, relationship crisis. And how many of you know there are storms we go through? But we're going through. I said we're going through. Praise God, and we're overcoming. And Jesus is our shelter. And so let's agree together for Francis Henderson. Would y'all agree with me in Jesus' name? Father, we agree for Mom. We agree, Father, for her, for Francis Henderson. We curse that tumor in the name of Jesus, and we command it to leave her body. We speak to that tumor on her bladder and command it to leave, dissolve, diminish, depart in Jesus' name. If there are any cancer cells in her body, we say cancer cannot live in her body. Lord, she will fulfill her days with strength and health and life in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for blessing her and all the care, the physical care and medical science is going to work together for good in the name of Jesus in her body. Amen. 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 So I started to think about this. You know, we've experienced some personal storms, and you know, about how to navigate those storms. Okay, and so Psalm 34:19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of him out of most of them. Some of them. Many of them." How many? How many? How many is all in Texas? Praise God. I may be going through a storm, but I'm also going to be delivered according to the Word of God. Hallelujah. God has made a way for us guys to navigate through every storm of life. Yeah? Now it's helpful, and this is what I started thinking about. It's helpful for us to know what kind of storm that we're dealing with, and I don't just mean a physical or financial or relationship storm, but what caused the storm? What category of storm is it? And what you're dealing with, so you can apply the scriptural remedy to navigate it successfully. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. And I don't know if I'm going to get past the first category this morning, but we'll deal with all of them tonight. So there are four categories of storms as I see them in the Word. Number one, four categories of storm. It might help for you to write these down. Number one, storms of our own making. Storms of our own making. Number two, storms caused by others. Storms caused by others. Paul's storm. That he went through that storm because others didn't obey. Jonah went through his storm because Jonah didn't obey. Paul went through his storm because others disobeyed. And then we're going to go through and show you subsequent things that will help you to navigate that. Then number three, attacks of the enemy against the will of God. Attacks of the enemy against the will of God. And you're just doing the will of God and you get attacked by the enemy. That was what the disciples' storm was about. Jesus told them to get in a boat, go to the other side. And they were just obeying Jesus and ran into a storm. So there are storms like that. There are storms of our own making. There are storms caused by others. And there are storms that are just all-out attacks of the enemy against the will of God. Then number four, there are inward storms. Storms that rage on the inside of us. And so I want to talk about these different types of storms and how to navigate each one, because each one is different. You can't apply the same principles for one storm as you do the other. Okay? And we're going to see how to navigate, because if he said he would deliver us out of all affliction and all trouble and every storm, then you know what? I want to apply the remedy of the Scripture to get through my storm. Yeah? Praise God. So, first of all, let's talk about storms of our own making. I know I'm not talking to anybody here. It's probably just for everybody that's going to get this CD, right? Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Storms of our own making. Hosea 13:9 in the King James Version, it says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. Is that pretty clear? But in me is your help. Israel, listen up. You have destroyed yourself. But in me, in other words, if you're still alive, in me is your help. Praise God. Yeah? I know several years ago, this was a lot of years ago, when I was in the business, before I went into ministry, I had a successful wholesale florist business in Houston, Texas, and I ventured out into other businesses trying to diversify, got into business, and I had a helicopter tour business and I didn't know how to fly. Anyway, other businesses, and one business we started was a firewood business in Houston, Texas. Now, really, there was a demand for firewood there. You know, people had fireplaces in Houston when it got cold 2 days out of the year. They'd have firewood out there. They wanted to start a fire, you know, anyway. There really was a need. And so me and my buddy who were in business together, we rented this big 18-wheeler with a trailer on it, okay? And we rented this and we drove it. We found this supply of firewood way in the backwoods in some godforsaken place about 90 miles from Houston and way out in the woods somewhere where this guy had cut these trees down. And so we rented this 18-wheeler in a trailer like you'd see any drive up and down the highway. And so we're going to load it up. And so we loaded it up started at the back and loaded it up to the top and got about halfway and it started to rain. And so we decide, well, we better go, you know, but otherwise we're going to be, I mean, John, I mean, you got to walk five. You know, it's 3 miles to the highway where we are. So it's raining and we don't want to get stuck, and so we're driving, and then because neither one of us, I don't even know how we rented it, because neither one of us knew what we were doing driving that thing. And so we drove it instead of using the low gears. We were trying to get out of there fast, and we tipped that thing over in the middle of nowhere. Tipped that thing. That thing fell over because it was top heavy. Duh. That was the devil, wasn't it? The devil sent that storm, and that was a big, trust me, that was a mega financial storm for us. And there wasn't any deep, dark spiritual reason for that accident that created this financial storm. It was just a whole lot of ignorance, immaturity, and just plain dumb with a capital D. You know, if you're going to load it, you would load it at the... Anyway, we paid a price for that dumb decision. Are you listening to me? It wasn't caused by the devil, and it certainly wasn't caused by God. It was a storm of our own making. Yeah? Proverbs 19, verse 3 says the foolishness of a man twists his way, and his heart frets against the Lord. Keep that up for just a moment. The foolishness of a man twists his way. That word twist it means to turn upside down. That's what our 18-wheeler did. Turned upside down and ruins his way. Listen, but then his heart frets against the Lord. That's what people do. They make dumb decisions and they fret against the Lord. Why did you let this happen? Listen, God didn't let that happen. That was just stupid. That was just El Dumbo. Amen? It wasn't the devil. It wasn't others. It certainly wasn't God. But it's our own foolish decisions that we didn't seek God about or act on His word, or we just couldn't wait to act. So we, you know, and then we get in trouble. Now, look, we can call on God. He said, even when we're in trouble, you know, Israel, you've destroyed yourself, but look, in me is your help. You can call on God and He'll help you, but He didn't get you in that storm. He'll get you out if you call on Him. Amen. Praise God for that. Sometimes, guys, we create problems for ourselves and sabotage our own success. And then we blame it on the devil and on God and on other people, and it's just nothing but moi. Are you hearing me? Proverbs 11:29. He who troubles his own house will inherit the what? He who troubles his own house will inherit what? Does that sound like a storm? You will inherit the wind. You create your own storm. Wow. Man, the Word of God is relevant, isn't it? Look, you trouble your own house. You make dumb decisions. It's not the devil. It's not God. It's not even other people. It's just your foolishness, your impetuousness, your spontaneousness, saying, you know, and then use the God card, of course. God led me. No, God didn't lead you to act in the flesh. And then you're upset at God. Your heart is fretting against God because of a whole bunch of stupid. I'm not saying you're stupid. I'm just saying what you did was. No, let's call a spade a spade, a heart a heart. Let's call it what it is. That's a storm of your own making. You did that. So, you know, listen, what caused it? I didn't take the time to get... Usually what happens is we're not... You know, we're not here in church, or we're not listening to what pastor says, or getting godly counsel, or listening to other people. We just go headlong and do what we want to do. Yeah? And then we create our own storm. You trouble your house, you inherit the wind. So don't get upset at God. Don't be complaining. You know, why did you let this happen to me? He let it happen to you because He's not going to cross over your will. If you'll cry out to Him, He'll get you out. We'll talk about that in a minute. Have you ever known someone that drama follows them around everywhere they go? You ever been one of them? I mean, everywhere they go, every job, every relationship, every project, it's drama, drama, drama. Man, let me tell you something. I don't hire drama. I got news for you. If drama's, and then you're upset and you're going to go somewhere else, how you leave a place is exactly how you enter the next. And you're gonna carry how you left one relationship is exactly how you're gonna enter the next. If you got drama hanging all over you, honey, you need to seek God and repent and turn around and take responsibility for the storms you're causing everywhere you go. Man, I don't need drama. I don't pay for drama. I got enough drama in my life without paying for it. Praise God. Amen. I don't hire people. I don't pay for bad attitudes at work. Listen to me. At work, on the job, I don't pay for bad attitudes. I'll get with you and I'll be nice to you, but you got about 24 hours to do some tuning on your attitude. You need to thank God you have a job. Get your attitude tuned. Amen. Praise God. Maybe there's some tuning going on right now. I don't know. But, you know, these people, they make their own storms everywhere they go. They're not happy unless they stir something up. Then they'll say, man, the devil, he's really attacking my marriage. He's really attacking my relationships. He's attacking my finances. He's attacking my job. Man, the devil doesn't have to. You're doing a real good job of it without his help. You tell people their finances are a wreck and you spend time with them and tell them, well, the first thing, you're not tithing. And it's not a legalistic principle. It's just you're not trusting God with your money. If you're not trusting God with your money, you're not going to be trusting God with anything else. So, you know, people that are struggling financially, it's first a trust issue, and you tell them that, and then, you know, then, you know, it'd be a good thing for you to work. I'm just saying. I mean, you work so you can have to give to those that are in need, and I want to be a giver, don't you? And I want to be a blessing, and I want to be a blessing when I go to work. I'm not looking for the problems on my job. I want to be a solution. I'm speaking to somebody right now. You're seeing all the problems, and God sent you there to be a solution. Amen. Don't become another problem. Don't become another problem. But see, people there all the time. I hear them, the devil's doing this. It's the devil, pray for me. The devil's messing with my marriage. And you just drill down a little bit and start talking to him. And you're thinking, the devil's nowhere near this situation. He's not bothering this person at all. No, he doesn't need to. They're just a mess going somewhere to happen. They're creating their own storm, blaming it on the devil. The devil even is nowhere around you. Everybody say, I love Pastor Greg. Praise God. Galatians 6, verse 8. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Is that what the Bible says? You sow to the Spirit, you'll reap everlasting life. But some people create their own storms And then they get mad when it rains. They get mad at God. They get, you know, man, how many of you know actions have consequences? If we've created our own storm, we need to face the truth and take ownership of our actions. Yes? And that doesn't mean we're to wallow around in guilt and condemnation or shame or self-pity. That's not what I'm saying. But simply repent. Receive God's forgiveness. Seek the forgiveness of others that you put through a storm. Yeah? I mean, you ought to do that when it's appropriate. And then forgive yourself. Facing the truth means we don't seek to blame God or the devil. Instead, we're honest with ourselves and with others regarding our actions that have created this mess. Now, look up here at me just a second, okay? Listen, I've pastored. I haven't pastored as long as pastor, but I pastored for 27 years. And pastor is my pastor, and I've learned some things. I've learned wisdom along the way. And let me tell you something. The majority of people's storms in life are not the devil. They're not others. And they're certainly not God's. They're storms of their own making. And we hear about messages about how to get through storms that are, you know, are just doing the will of God, and we'll talk about that tonight. You can just go look it up in the Bible yourself, and you can re-preach this message, but there'll be some things that I'll probably share with you maybe you didn't see. But, you know, I mean, you go and you can look at the disciple storm, and you can look at Paul's storm that was caused by others, and there are things we can learn there, but we can't get there. We cannot apply those principles over storms of our own making. Storms of our own making require another application, and that is just simply repent. Now, let's talk about one that we see in the Bible, that lessons that we can learn from Jonah's storm. Look at Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. Lessons we can learn from Jonah's storm. Because Jonah's storm was a storm of his own making. Was it not? Jonah chapter 1, now the word, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up against me." And Jonah immediately went and obeyed. Is that what it says? But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish, and from the presence of the Lord. How many of you know that's not good? Listen, guys, when we disobey, we're moving away from the presence of God. And again, it's a point of not trusting God. Are you listening to me? I didn't receive the Lord until I was 21 years old. I was saved at 21 in a Methodist church on the word I'd heard 7 years before in a Baptist church. I heard no gospel in this Methodist church. I already knew how to be saved, but I ran from God for 7 years because I thought to follow God, He was going to call me to Africa or India or some godforsaken place where a wife would not follow me. I knew if I said yes to the Lord, I know for sure, because you'd hear all these people, they'd say, "Well, I'm surrendering to the call," and you know, then they're going to Africa or India or someplace that I knew, you know, that and my parents had been divorced, and I wanted a wife, and I wanted a family, and I wasn't trusting God. So I fled from the Lord. I fled. I could have been saved 7 years earlier. And I didn't know when I committed on Easter Sunday 1973, I didn't know what that was going to do in our marriage. Hopefully it was going to be good. But man, I could have been saved a Sunday before, but I wasn't dressed good enough. So anyway, Jonah, and you know, how many of you know that's nonsense? Listen, God, whatever God calls you to do, you're going to want to do. And God's going to bless you there, and it's going to be prosperous there. It's going to be blessing there. I mean, the will of God is where you want to be, not running from it. And a lot of people create their own storms because they run from the presence of God. They're afraid if they follow the Lord, He's going to ask them to do something they don't want to do. But listen, you really start following the Lord, you find out He leads you by the desires He puts in your heart. And I'm doing what I want to do today. Are you listening to me? I do what I want to do because God plants His desires in my heart. But Jonah fled. And he went down. Everybody say he went down. See, when you flee from the presence of the Lord and the will of God, it takes you on a downward spiral. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish and paid the fare. And he went down. Everybody say he went down into it. And to go with them from Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. And so Nineveh, where Jonah was supposed to go, is located in modern-day Iraq. Tarshish is close to Spain, modern-day Spain. Exactly the opposite direction of each other. So he's running exactly opposite from what God had called him to do. Are you listening to me? Whenever anyone runs from the call of God or the will of God, it leads them on a downward spiral, and it brings storms on themselves and on others. It's exactly what happened here. I'm not going to read all these verses. You guys know the story. A great storm came, and then, in fact, the men of this ship who were not in covenant with God, they had more integrity than Jonah. And then Jonah had told him, listen, the reason why this storm is here is because of me. I'm fleeing from the will of God, the presence of God. They tried to do everything to save him. And he said, no, you're going to have to, if you want the ship to be saved, you're going to have to, and the storm to stop, you're going to have to throw me overboard. And that's what they did. And in the moment they did, the storm stopped. But that's not the rest of the story, is it? Look at chapter 2 and verse chapter 1, verse 17. Look at verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. So the Lord, in His mercy, prepared a fish to swallow Jonah and preserve his life. And Seaweed University caused Jonah to get serious with God and pray. It wasn't God that sent the storm that tried to destroy his life. It wasn't the cause of it. Like it was God's fault. Okay, it was the fact that that Jonah was disobeying. That's what caused the storm, was his disobedience. And then later, God actually sent the fish to save him in the storm. So look, if you've disobeyed God and God put something in your heart, God loves you, He's not mad at you, but you're bringing the storms on yourself. And you go through Seaweed University, consequences of your actions, and you start getting to serious with God. You know, it'd be good for Jonah to have prayed ahead of time instead of wait till he got to in the belly of the fish. How he lived in the belly of that fish, I have no clue. But the Bible says he did. And some people say whales don't have big enough throats to swallow men. Well, this one did. I said, this one did. And how did he breathe down there? I don't know. I don't know if God sent him an oxygen mask and an oxygen tank. I don't know. I don't care. I just know the Bible said he was there 3 days and 3 nights. And he was there. And he prayed. How many of you know he got serious with God? Then Jonah prayed to the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 1. From the fish's belly. And it said, I cried out to the Lord. because of my affliction. And he answered me, out of the belly of hell I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. The flood surrounded me. How many of you ever felt that way? And the billows and your waves passed over. You don't know what to do. I mean, it's like you're in the middle of that fish. What are you going to do? Yeah, pray. That's right. Praise God. Hallelujah. You got it, brother. Praise the Lord. The deep closed around me. Weeds. See that seaweed? Seaweed University. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with his bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought me up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. He's repenting now. And my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. He's appealing to the mercy of God now, and he's laying down the idol in his heart that his people were greater than the people he was going to try to lead to repentance. The idol of his own way, he's laying that down. He said, you follow your own idols of your own making, you forsake mercy. And I'm appealing to mercy right now. Amen? And then, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. In other words, he's saying, look, I will fulfill my commitment to you, Lord. So there's a new consecration. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord heard all that, and he spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry ground. Wow. I said, wow. Far too many Christians are content to do their own thing, go their own way, but when they're in trouble, they pray. But in this prayer, Jonah graphically described his problem. He consecrated himself to God. He trusted in God's mercy, committed to follow the will of God for his life. And the Lord spoke to the fish and vomited him out. Jonah got a second chance. I said, Jonah got a second chance. God gave Jonah a second chance. Even in a storm of his own making, he got a second chance. And even in the storm of your own making, God understands it was in your immaturity, in your lack of knowledge of his word. You didn't realize that God's faithful. He's going to, that if he asks you to do something, he's going to provide for you. He's going to care for you. You started to follow him and something happened. I don't know. I don't know what happened. It could have been a combination of storm of your own making and initially what somebody else did. Maybe your husband left you. Maybe your wife left you. You did everything you knew to do. Yeah? You prayed. You sought God. You went to counsel and it still didn't work out. Well, listen, don't let what someone else that caused a storm come into your life cause you to continue a storm of your own making. I'm sorry that you've gone through that. I'm sorry that that's happened to you. But I'm telling you, you can still trust God. And he's still going to give you a second chance. God's the God of the second chance. If he'd do that for Jonah, Jonah wasn't even born again. He'll do that for you and me today. He's got a second. I'm talking to somebody here. You say, yeah, but you don't know how many times I've gone. You don't know how many times. Doesn't matter. Are you alive? Are you still breathing? Do you understand God's got more for you? He's got second chance for you. I'm talking to somebody here today. He's got another. There is yet a new day. There is yet resurrection life. That fish that you're in the middle of is getting ready to spit you out of its mouth. And you are yet to fulfill the will of God. Now Jonah, man, don't you think he got their attention when he went to preach again? I mean, do you understand he didn't have time to change clothes? He was bleached out. You understand, man? I mean, this was the original beach bum right here. Probably smelled real good. But Jonah got a second chance. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So did the will of God change? Didn't change, did it? It's the same. Listen, whatever God called you to do, as a child, I'm speaking to someone here today, as a child, God, as a young person, God put it in your heart what He called you to do, and you've run from it. Tried to fulfill your own career. Tried to sing with Frank Sinatra, "I Did It My Way." Theme song to hell. "I Did It My Way." But it's time to surrender. And when you do, God is going to speak that same word to you, but this time you're going to do it in the power of His might. Not in the strength of your will, in the power of His might. And look what happened. "Arise, go to Nineveh, a great city, preach to it." So Jonah arose and went according to the word of the Lord. And Nineveh was a great and exceeding city. And when he went there, the people, verse 5, "So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast. They repented." Man, the whole city turned to God. I said the whole city turned to God. And God has cities yet to turn to Him. When you and I will just step out and obey Him. Yes. You never know what's on the other side of your obedience. There are literally multitudes in the valley of decision that are just waiting for you and I to say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'll go to Bible college. Yes, Lord, I'll come out this weekend and be part of the soul." Well, I haven't done it yet. Let me ask you. How many would be, just be honest, and you're part of this church, but you've not yet come out on soul winning yet. You've not yet come out. And I'm telling you, God's calling you. We need you. I said, we need you. And on the other side, listen, on the other side of your obedience are going to come things that are not only people are going to be blessed, but you're going to be fulfilled. Are you with me? You're going to be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Jonah suffered consequences because of his initial disobedience, but God gave him a second chance. Aren't you thankful? Thank God for His mercy that endures forever. Thank God for His mercy that endures forever. Thank God for His mercy that endures forever. Then Jonah made it to the place God sent him, a bit more bleached out than before, and preached to the people that God initially instructed him to go. There are a people that need to hear your message. And they repented. Sometimes storms of our own making are caused by rebellion against the known will of God. Just like Jonah. Other times maybe it's not rebellion against the known will of God, but sometimes just ignorance, like it was with me, or carnal, foolish, fleshly actions, like I did with that 18-wheeler. Praise God. Oh, Jesus. I never see an 18-wheeler. I never see one go down the highway without thinking about that one over in the... God, what are we going to... How are we even going to get this out of here? I mean, we went and borrowed... Of course, we were not as spiritual as I am now. We went and borrowed a farmer's tractor in the middle of the night without his knowledge. And God... Trying to write that thing, and anyway, we ended up emptying all that firewood and left it there. And hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Dumb, capital D. But you know what? In either case, don't play the game, blame game. How many of you ever made a mistake? You've been through a storm of your own making. Don't play the blame game, blaming God, blaming others, blaming the devil, and don't wallow around in self-pity and condemnation either. Just simply repent. I said repent. Take ownership for your actions. Appeal to the mercy of God. And then commit to follow Him and His Word. Say, Lord, I'm trusting You. I'm trusting You. That's the importance of being part of a good local church like Calvary Cathedral International. Because you hear the knowledge of the Word and you understand things so you can avoid all these storms of your own making. Amen? I'm wiser, I'm smarter, I'm better. I'm wealthier, I'm smarter, I'm functioning in the gifts that God has for me because of the knowledge that I receive here. Yes? Yeah. And then you hear the Word of God and you learn how to walk in His ways and you avoid creating storms of your own making. Just ask yourself and God this question today as we close. Are you in the midst of a storm? Are you in the middle of a storm? Or have you been having cyclical storms in your life? Have you been having one storm after another in your life? Ask yourself this question. What part have I contributed to this problem or storm? I have couples that will come in for counseling, and what I ask them before they come in, I said, look, I want you to pray, and then I want you to answer these three questions before you come in. I'm not going to pray for you if you're not going to pray for yourselves. Okay? Don't ask me to pray and give you answers if you're not going to spend time in prayer. And here's what I want to know. What do you think the problem is? I want to know each spouse. What do you perceive the problem is? What part have you contributed to the problem? And you need to know this. If you're ever helping a married couple, females especially, women, female gender, where are you at? Okay, all right. Let me tell you something. Don't be deceived. I said, don't be deceived when you're helping people who are going through a problem, a marriage problem, and you as a female are talking to the female. You do not know the whole story. You do not ever know the whole story. Do not pass judgment, or you do not pass go, and you do not collect $200 or whatever. You do not. You are a failure as a counselor. You don't know the whole story till you get that other person in there. Even then, you don't, unless the Holy Ghost shows you. But I asked them, what part have you contributed to the problem? And then what do you think the solution is? And if I'm in there listening to them and one of them is all they're doing is pointing the finger at the other one, I know they're the problem. I know they're the bigger part of the problem. I taught my staff how to counsel. And I know this one staff member, it was his solo. And I gave him a tough case. I mean, this couple was a, it was interesting. And so they come in and they sit down and she was a little chatty Kathy. And you know what I mean by that? And she's just, you know, and I mean, in the counseling, they're sitting there, the husband's not saying a word, and she's, you know, on and on like that. And so, you know, the husband's just kind of there like this, kind of smug. You can see the problem, can't you? All of a sudden, this staff member, I taught him, I said, listen, you've got to listen to the Holy Ghost, not just listen to those people, listen to the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost rose up in him, and she'd been going doing that for about 30 minutes. He hadn't hardly said two words other than, hi, my name is. sitting there in his smugness. And the Holy Ghost rose up in him and said, he turned to the man. He said, sir, you are the problem. And she shut up. She's looking over, what? You are the problem, sir. You haven't been ministering to your wife emotionally. You haven't been ministering to her needs. You haven't been listening to her. You haven't been connecting with her. And you're creating all this that we see right here. What you see right here is your fault, sir.
Praise God.
You know what? He took ownership of that. He repented. He saw that what he thought was his wife creating the storm, that he had created that storm. And he had been ministering to her. So what storm have you been going through today? Or what cyclical pattern of problems has been happening over and over and over? I mean, it's like, you say these things like, is it ever going to stop? It will. If you'll pray. I said if you'll pray. If you'll, here are the steps. See, what got Jonah into his storm? Somebody tell me, what got him into his storm? Storms of our own making are we get into them by disobedience or by just dumb, stupid decisions that we didn't pray and seek God about. Jonah got into his storm because of disobedience. How did he get out of it, and how can we get out of storms of our own making? Through prayer. Everybody say prayer. Calling on the mercy of God. Repentance. And consecration to the will of God. Prayer. Calling on the mercy of God. Repentance. Consecration to the will of God. Now, you can't consecrate to the will of God if you don't trust Him. And it all goes back to trust, guys. Would you stand up together with me? If the Spirit of God has been speaking to you today, that you've been going through storms and you misinterpreted it, it's not so much the devil, though the devil will take advantage of our ignorance or whatever, but it is certainly not God, and it's not others. This is a storm of your own making, and you're willing to humble yourself and say, you know, Pastor Greg, just pray for me. I want to come out of this storm. I want to come out of this pattern. I want to come out of this cycle. If that's you, just lift your hand real high. All over the room, I see your hands. Several of you, praise God. Keep that hand up real high. Praise God. All over the room. Hallelujah. Man, thank you for your humility. Thank you for your humility. You know, I think there are others that need to have your hand up right now. Just sensing. You know, you're just... There, you just need to acknowledge your part. Some of what you've gone through, you've been thinking it's the devil. You've been thinking, yeah, maybe the devil's gotten involved. You've been thinking it's God. You've been thinking it's someone else. But it's time for you to take ownership. It's time for you to repent. It's time for you to call on the mercy of God. It's time for you to reconsecrate yourself to the will of God. And not blame God, not blame the devil, not blame people. Amen? Hallelujah. One more time. If that's you, lift your hand real high. All right, I want to pray for you. Let's just pray together. Amen? Hallelujah. If that's you, in fact, we can all just pray this prayer together. Just say, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you. You said in your word that when I go through trouble, when I go through storms and afflictions, you deliver me out of all of them. And I see today that some storms are storms of my own making. And today I call on you. I call on your mercy. Have mercy on my ignorance. have mercy on my disobedience. Have mercy on my rebellion. And I repent, Lord, of going my own way, of living my life my way. I repent, and I consecrate myself today to do the will of God, to see the will of God happen in my life, to touch the people and reach the people you've called me to reach. Lord, here I am. Use me. Send me. Father, I thank you. What you did for Jonah, you'll do for me and more. I thank you today that if you spit Jonah, if you caused that fish to spit him out, then Lord, my storm's going to spit me out. My storm is going to spit me out. I'm going to be delivered in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah.